And we're on. Introducing Benny Leshnock, co-founder and CEO at Zero Networks, a fully automated platform for zero trust segmentation and remote access. Benny, how are you, man?
Good, thank you. You almost got the family name correctly, so thank you.
I might just stick to Benny L for the future. Looks like you've got a nice day in the background, mate. Very jealous about that at the moment.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Yeah,
You've
winters in Israel are good.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've had a busy year, man. I saw 20 million Series B. I think you've had ARR at five times, like fivefold in the last less than a year. First of all, congratulations. How are you feeling?
Good. You know, the higher the success, the more now you need to aspire to. So it never, the show never ends on a high note. It's always what's the next one and how do you go even bigger, even higher, even faster. But
Yeah,
yeah, it's
man.
good.
Yeah, love that. Before we get into the fun stuff about who you are and Zero Networks, Benny, I'd like to just go back to where it all started for with all my guests and sort of how you got into the industry, first of all.
Well, I actually started as a programmer that was then forcefully shifted into IT in the army, in the Israeli army, which initially I didn't like, and then I really liked very quickly. Then I was professional services. Then I left to a startup because I understood that I want to be a product lead. And in that startup, I became that product lead, actually right after our acquisition to Microsoft. And ever since, I've been leading essentially products in security, including leading some of the big things in the Microsoft EDR team. Yeah, and then almost 5 years ago, I left Microsoft to open Zero. So that's me. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. So when you started at Microsoft, and then the startup that you went to, they got acquired by Microsoft, did they?
Yes.
Got it. So that explains why you was almost there, what, 10 years or something in the
Yeah, something
end.
like that. Yeah, product
Yeah,
leadership.
cool. So then at what point did you sort of think, right, this is time to start something yourself?
Well, it's not about it's time to start something myself. It's time to solve a problem that I saw. And I could not solve that in Microsoft. It's very hard to do any innovation, real innovation in corporates just because of how they move. So I saw this problem of why the heck are attackers still winning in bigger and bigger volumes and more impact. And I understood that it was the networks being too open from the inside. That's why I even saw a few things like that at Microsoft. You know, I saw it in many, many customers, like nobody's solving it. And we need to. I saw that there is already a space called micro-segmentation that is aimed at solving that, but is doing very poorly at that for various reasons. And I said, I understand how to fix all of those issues in an easy way. As I always say, what is complex to do never gets done. And if it's simple to do, it will get done. So how do we make micro segmentation and network segmentation all up simple? That's what we do. And then you can really move the needle in security because if everything is segmented, then that's it. There's almost nothing left to the attacker to do.
What exactly is micro segmentation?
Yeah, so micro segmentation is essentially taking every machine in the network, every client and every VM in the environment, and putting it in their own network bubble, if you will, as if you put like a Palo Alto or a Check Point or whatever in front of them, blocking inbound completely, except for very few things that are really needed in the least privileged mode, let's say. So you need to do this per machine in the environment, like per client, per server, per VM, per resource, per device. Everything has their own personal inbound block, right? That's micro segmentation. That's extremely difficult to do, and we make that easy.
I've seen a few of your like client testimonials that say that it's sort of too good to be true. How is that?
How is it that we achieve that, you mean?
How are you able to do that? Because in terms of like MFA and things like that, making sure that that's installed, but specifically for what Zero Networks are doing, how are you able to make it so easy for the customer?
Oh, that's a very difficult and big question. But I think we just completely thought outside of the box completely. We didn't take stuff for granted, like, because everybody back then, let's install an agent to do it. I'm like, wait. Can we do this without an agent? And we really challenge ourselves think, and we found a way to do it with no agents, right? That's one point. Then do we really need someone to take an ownership of rule creation, or can this be really done automatically without AI, machine learning bullshit? And that's what we've done that, right? Like, and does everything need to be open, or can we do something that is, you know, with some self-service and verification? And we have a few patents, by the way, patented already on various fronts there. But literally everything I've just described is extremely difficult to do. And also we've patented it, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, got it. Who should care? Is this like a CISO, or is it IT?
Well, it depends on the organization size. It's definitely the CISO. It could be the VP of IT. Anyone that is responsible for infrastructure and security needs this. Like,
yeah. Yeah, got it. So 5 years ago, Zero Network sort of formed. Obviously, things have evolved quite a lot over the last 5 years, I imagine. But when you first founded, like, the problem was there. Like, how big is the problem, first of all?
Oh, it's huge. Most organizations have somewhat of an open network, like literally everyone. Even if you do buy some firewalls and place them in various locations, in between these locations, it's still completely open. And even between the locations that you just put the firewall, it becomes a Swiss cheese very, very quickly. And then there's many things that needs to traverse. And then through that, you know, attackers can move. So the problem of having everything too open, you know, it's a gray thing. It's not zero or one. It exists everywhere. Like, why are attackers still winning? And most customers that these attackers already did a lot, had many firewalls, had EDRs, they had everything. And yet they completely got breached. And now I don't want to make, you know, too bold of a claim, but most likely if we are there, it's going to be a completely different game. We already stopped many attackers. When we are there, typically most pen tests are almost completely green, from a red report to a green report, right? So we really move the needle on that front.
Yeah, I was laughing when one of your customers said that when they were having a pen test actually conducted, they had to turn off your solution just so that the pen test
could
happen.
Measures, yes. Yes.
Yeah, that made me laugh. What are some of like the root causes then for that? Because you claim to fix the root causes of most cybersecurity attacks. Like, what are some of the root causes?
Again, the main one is the network being too open, because once ports are open across everything, there are hundreds of tactics you can try and do. So once you have one unit, one data center, on-prem or cloud, it doesn't matter. And it's between machines is too open. That's it. It's game over once they go in, and they will always find a way in. But you want to make sure that, you know, it's like a huge, the, you know, these large carrier oil, you know, tankers, if you poke a hole, then the oil can come out. But if it's all compartmentalized, like if you have like 100 of those, then only a bunch can get drained. And the more compartments you have, the better, the more resilient you are, right? So same thing. And organizations think, oh, I have some compartments. Not really. You want a compartment per machine, which is, again, completely ridiculous on how to achieve, but that's exactly what we do.
Yeah, got it. Because like some people think, oh, VPN, like what are some of the problems with just having just a basic VPN then?
Well, it's an orthogonal issue to what I just said, but VPN is yet another way for them to get, for an attacker to get in from the internet to your organization, right? Because the VPN server has a port open to the internet. That's how people can connect through it. And that means they can hack it. And if you didn't patch it, someone will get in. It's as simple as that. So the first, all of the first few minutes we just chatted was about our micro-segmentation solution, which we call Segment. Now, VPN, we're talking about another offering in the same platform, same UI, that we call Connect, that essentially is about how do we enable that remote access in a fast, secure, cost-effective way. So there's tension there between security and VPNs, which we solve and actually have a hybrid of the two.
Yeah, on the platform, have you sort of got two products or is there sort of three? Because I saw there's
There's
like
actually
an.
now a new one that we haven't announced yet, so I'm
Ah,
not going
okay.
to
Yeah, of
talk about
course.
too much. And there's a few other modules on top of all of that, but yeah.
So what's Blue Hound? Sorry.
Yeah, so we have tons of open source tools that we have for the community. Bluehound is one of them. It can essentially connect to various security sources, vulnerability assessments, and other things, and visualize them in a way that gives you more insight and sense. That's Bluehound. And we have other open source tools that we have, like the RPC firewall, which is a specific thing that we started, like I think 3 years ago now, where we said, well, we can close the network, but you still have servers that need the RPC port open. And RPC has 2,000 functions underneath it. And many of them are very vulnerable. Can we do something inline, not just at the port layer, 0 or 1 open or closed, but let's say you have to keep it open. And we go inline to some protocols to make them more secure. So that's what we did there. There's more on that that we are doing, like the LDAP firewall, and there are other things that we will may end up doing. And those are also part of the product as well. So you get an automated subscription paid version for that, or you can manually go and do that with the open source.
It's all automated, right? It's all fully
Well,
automated.
the paid version, the subscription has that all automated for you. It's all in a click. Or you can manually start doing that yourself with the open source.
Got it. There's obviously the 5x ARR growth this year, which sounds great. Like, what's really fueled that? Because obviously 5 years in now, where's the fuel come for that?
Well, first of all, it was the second year of sale, right? Like, so it wasn't 5 years late. It took us 3 years almost to build it before we even saw. Started selling just because I'm a believer in product truth and I didn't want to do anything, which was very difficult because obviously investors and others like go, 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 and 3 years to develop this. That's very hard to do for various from various angles. But I guess what fueled it is that it works. And then people started telling people, and also there's the market need, right, to have bit more prevention controls and security solutions, not just detection. I think there is a trend now going from we started 20, 30 years ago with prevention mindset, antiviruses, perimeter firewalls, yada, yada. It kind of shifted more than a decade ago to detection and visibility. Oh, the attackers are in, let's detect them, let's see them, let's, stuff like that. And I think now there's a shift back. Well, I have all of the detections and EDRs you want. And yet I'm still getting screwed. So what now? And now there is this backlash. Well, how do we really prevent? And there's all of this, I call them prevention 2.0 solutions, like misconfigurations, like that's a big thing. Most cloud security is really more misconfigurations than there is anything else. So there's misconfiguration. There's how do we MFA enable things, which we also do. And that we didn't talk about that much. How do we segment things better? Like that's a old school way, but nobody did it well. So the new generation of products, which I think we are leading there, of course, are doing that in an easy way. So all of those are how do we prevent so that you don't need to rely on detection too much. You still
How?
need that, but
Yeah. And what from a deployment perspective, how easy is this to plug in?
we call it the Netflix binge POC. It's 3 Zoom calls, 1 hour and something to deploy, another one 2 weeks later to just see stuff in the portal. A month later, everything is automatically segmented, everything is working, and you're done, essentially. So
You make it sound so easy, Benny. How
it's exactly like that, and it's too good to be true. And then you go ahead and see the videos,
How just on that you taking 3 years to actually build the product, like it must have been quite a lot of challenge with that. Like how difficult was it to get through the 3 years? Because it does seem like a long time, even I guess just motivating the others around you. Was what was some of the challenges as a
It's
founder?
absolutely horrible. I think these are the worst years of my life, I would very openly say. It's a lot of stress, it's a lot of hassle. There is turnaround of people, there's just but you go through because you believe that you can do it. And there were a couple of points where it's, you know, even I, like, maybe I cannot do it, you know, and then you need to rely on some friends, on my co-founder, or, you know, other people to go along with this and pull through.
Yeah, absolutely, man. What about some practical advice for like security practitioners, even if they're not gonna purchase Zero Networks? Like, what is some practical advice that you would give them?
The practical advice is to always choose practical solutions. And there's a lot of stuff. Practical meaning, what's the investment? What's the amount of work you need to invest in that? And is it really giving me security? Now, sometimes you just buy some security solution because you need to check a checkbox. That's a very unfortunate reality, in my opinion, because most of the time, it's not really security, period. But there's nothing you can do about that. That's just bureaucracy in some types of organizations. But for the most part, if you're really looking for security, what's going to move the needle? And how much effort do I need to make to do that? And if you really want that needle to move, can you find something that will give you that without the hassle? Essentially understanding what is the threat, asking if that is really still a threat, and then what is the cost for me to change that threat or reduce the risk from that threat, right?
Yeah.
And that's the way to think. And if you really do that process, like really, many things start falling off the wagon. Oh, I don't really need to do that because the threat is not that real and it's too much of an effort. Yeah. Or the threat is real and it's a super light effort. Let's do that. Even if it doesn't tick a checkbox. Like, if you really follow that practicality, let's call it, then you can really
yeah nice
for your defenses. For your defenses, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. Talking about the attack vectors, obviously constantly evolving. What's the future hold, Benny, and particularly for Zero Networks? I know you've said about a little sneak peek of a new product coming out, but what's the future for you guys?
Well, it's very, I'm not a prophet, so I don't know, like, you know, how would attacks look? And typically what you end up, you know, people are like, oh, the AI will take over, this will happen, this will happen. So yeah, I mean, attacks will become a bit more automated. They already are to some extent. But typically it's more of the same. That's just life in many things. Like, attacks today, ransomware today, that's wreaking havoc, pretty much using very similar tactics 10 years ago. Like, not a lot has changed. Just people don't, it's not sexy to tell. Well, it's still the same. And nobody says that. But that's, generally speaking, what's happening, obviously, is more technology stack exists. There's more ways to attack. Typically, it's still pretty much similar in most cases. And it's still huge. Like, the holes left in the existing security stack or the existing technological stack are so wide, there's not a single solution that can really fix that. And that's our goal. We want to be a one-stop shop that's a huge platform for most of the big, big, big holes of why attackers are winning. And that's product number three that's coming out soon. So.
Love it, mate. Benny, we'll leave it at that because probably could talk for hours. But thank you so much for coming on the show, and I wish you all the best of success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's show, please like and share with your friends and colleagues, as this is really important for the show's reach. If you'd like to be our next guest or are interested in Aspron Search's staffing solutions, please get in touch directly with me or reach out to us via our website, www.aspronsearch.com.